Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Prophet Isaiah spoke of the ministry of St. John the Baptist as the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." John the Baptist was sent to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the one to proclaim repentance and the one to baptize sinners, the one to speak the truth with clarity and conviction, earnestness and comfort. He was sent to speak. The human voice involves many of our senses. We not only hear the sounds which are uttered by those around us, but we can also see with our eyes the lips of those who are speaking. We can see movement in their body. We can see gestures as they speak. And we can also feel the vibration that is caused by sound. The human voice is powerful in that just a few sounds can cause laughter or anger, comfort or fear. God not only granted us the ability to engage in complex communication through our voice, but the Almighty God has chosen to reveal himself through words that we can hear and that we can understand. For it is written, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 14, St. Paul tells us of the importance of hearing that word with understanding, that the word is to be proclaimed in understood languages. For it would be of no benefit for you to have some preacher come here and speak to you in a foreign language. St. Paul says he would rather say 5 words with understanding than 10,000 in a foreign tongue. The word of God is so important that it is, of course, the word made flesh, linked to Jesus himself. As we will hear on Christmas Day, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Scriptures also declare, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Even though John preached nearly 2,000 years ago in the wilderness, his voice is still heard today. Some of his words are recorded in the sacred scriptures for us to therefore read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. And of course, the content of his preaching is still preached today when faithful ministers in the stead of Christ proclaim the word of Christ. So what voice was heard in the wilderness as John engaged in his prophetic office of preaching? As we heard, his voice is this crying voice, meaning he spoke with urgency and John spoke with conviction. Why? Because eternal matters were at stake, and they still are. You see, the Lord was not going to wait for another millennia or two. Instead, the Lord was already there. John the Baptist served as the forerunner to the Messiah, but Jesus was born just months after John was born. And that's why John said, as we heard in our gospel, "But among you stands one you do not know, whose sandal strap I am unworthy to loose." And so this Jesus, whom John is preaching, is about to begin his ministry. Soon Jesus will come to John to be baptized in the Jordan River by John. Soon Jesus will begin his ministry of preaching the word and healing people, confirming that he is truly the Messiah. And then when that takes place, John acknowledges that he must decrease so that Jesus will increase. John's ministry would then be complete. It's time for John to get out of the way so that Jesus can do his ministry. And so, as the forerunner to the Messiah, the voice cries, "Repent, prepare, Make the way of the Lord. Turn yourselves from this wicked generation. Be baptized into Christ and receive for your souls the salvation that he announces. Now, of course, the urgency by which John proclaimed has that same urgency today. For we do not know how many days God will grant us yet in this life, nor do we know how many days it'll be before our Lord Jesus returns. But what we do know is that Jesus teaches us to, at all times, be ready. Stay awake, as we heard in some of our readings during Advent this year. For Jesus will come, as he himself says, at a time when many do not expect. It could be that it'll be thousands of years away. Or it could be that Jesus' return will be before this pandemic is over. How many will be unprepared, for they let their hearing of the word lapse during these so-called unprecedented times? Or what abundance of caution do people truly exercise when they neglect the gathering of believers and reception of the sacrament? Now, from a worldly standpoint, that might sound like the safest thing to do. It might sound reasonably cautious. It might even seem like the loving thing to do. But from a Christian standpoint, those who avoid the means of grace are placing themselves under the crosshairs of Satan, and they are placing themselves in great grave danger, because God works through the word, through that voice that is crying. And so we need that crying voice today, urging us to be prepared. And we are prepared as we are called to repentance, and as we're told of the good news of Jesus, that he died for us and rose for us and gives us the gift of everlasting life. For it is through this hearing of the word, that the Holy Spirit is at work. And thankfully, God continues to send ministers today to give us that crying voice. This voice speaks in the wilderness. As much as we try to tame the world by turning forests into fields, deserts into dwelling places, and hostile routes into highways, the world is still very much a wild place. Stand outside too long in the cold, and you'll freeze. Go through the desert without water too long, and you will die of dehydration. Fall off a cliff, and you'll be injured at best. Walk into the wilderness, and you may well become some animal's prey. The frailty of our bodies is wholly evident. The world itself is cruel. Chickens give no thought to the bugs that they serve, that they eat as their meal. Owls happily gobble down rodents. Wolves will hunt down even larger animals. It's a wild place out there, and it is corrupt with sin. Because of this, death is all around us, and all flesh eventually loses that battle to live. But God does not leave us in the wilderness. He does not turn his back in shame over how savage the world has become from the effects of the fall. Instead, he promised to send his only begotten Son into this savage world, where the Son of Man would lament that there's no place to lay his head. He comes into this world so that he could bear the sins of the entire world in his own body and shed his innocent blood as a sacrificial payment on the cross. And God sends preachers like John to proclaim Christ, preachers today to draw us together as a community of believers gathered around the word of Christ and receiving the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. In this, God is taming this wilderness. He is providing clarity through his word and ultimately draws us from this fallen place to be with himself in heaven, the green pastures of heaven, the still waters of paradise. The voice of John points us to Christ, as does all godly preaching. The delegation sent to investigate John asked him who he is. And John immediately addresses the Christ. For John says he is not the Christ. For evidently, some must have figured that maybe John the Baptist is finally the fulfillment of that they've been waiting for. This prophet who is prophesied in our reading from Deuteronomy 18, the Messiah, the one who will defeat the devil as God had promised to Adam and Eve. But instead of being the Messiah, John says that he is the one prophesied to make straight the way of the Lord. And so he explains that he is the forerunner to the Messiah, and that Christ has already come, yet they did not know it. The voice of John is the voice that speaks of Christ. Jesus alone shed his innocent blood on the cross. Jesus alone fulfilled the law in our place. Jesus alone earned our salvation. Jesus alone defeated the devil and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, where he sits and reigns. And it is only through faith in Jesus that we can stand before God on that great day of judgment and be acquitted of all of our sin. John did not make his preaching about himself, but it was always centered on Christ. You see, we are tempted to always turn everything into being about ourselves, are we not? We want our jobs not to be about the betterment of the business for which we're working, but we want it to be about us in some way. We want our families not to be about the betterment of our family, but we want it to somehow be twisted into being about us. We want the church to not be focused on Christ, but instead to the praise and glory of our own selves. And the same comes with preachers. They are tempted to focus on themselves. And so they crack jokes, interject commentary into the liturgy, or turn the proclamation of the gospel into a TED talk, floral finery, or weasel words. They begin to think that if people are coming to church, it must be because of his good preaching. Or if they're not coming, it's because they're not satisfied with his work as a preacher. In some respects, this may be true, because hearers often inflate the hubris of the pastor, making the church not about Christ, but about the one who is preaching. Christ Jesus then gets lost in the muddy waters of a misdirected message. And the focus then is not the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but instead it is on the feeble sinners who did not redeem the world and who saved no one. And so the voice is to proclaim Christ and him crucified at all times, and to do so with clarity. You would think that a man calling in the wilderness, who eats locusts and honey and wears clothing made of camel's hair, would not have very plain speech. But his speech was clear. He minced no words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Calling the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He did not turn the clear word of God into gray shadows or images. When he spoke against people marrying their brother's wives, men marrying their brother's wives, when it applied to the king, he did not backpedal. Instead, he was willing to suffer the punishment for preaching the truth. He was imprisoned, as we heard last week. The same clarity is to be preached today. We do not need reeds shaking in the wind. Since God's word condemns cohabitation and says that those who do so will die eternally, we say the same thing. Since God's word speaks against looking at others with lust, we do too. Since God's word announces that coarse joking and gossip are both sins, we do too. We do not change our tune because we've now found somebody guilty of these transgressions. Instead, we do as John clearly did. And that is, we call them to repentance. For those who repent of their sin and turn from it, they are absolved. They are forgiven. they are actually and truly reconciled to Christ. That is the goal and that is the aim, not to send people to hell, but to release them from the clutches of Satan by which they do not realize that they have entered into. John's voice was one of conviction, as the entire law of God was clearly applied and the whole gospel of Jesus Christ was clearly proclaimed. For if we backpedal on the law when it actually applies to someone, we are then excluding them from receiving the gospel. In other words, if we give people the impression that their transgression is not a violation of the law of God, then we give them a false hope that they need no Savior from their transgression. And this, then, leads to them being denied the gospel. By retracting the law, we deny the sinner's self, or we deny sinners the gospel's self of forgiveness. And so John's voice of conviction is still needed, as is this voice of truth. For God's word never changes. Jesus Christ, as it is written, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus also declared, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. God's truth must be proclaimed in its purity to the ends of the earth. For that is when God's love is proclaimed, or that is God's truth is proclaimed in love. When the voice is that of truth, it is a voice of love. For love rejoices in the truth. John conducted his ministry in love as he called sinners to repentance, as he baptized sinners into Christ, as he directed the hearts and minds of sinners to Jesus, as he forgave sinners with Christ's forgiveness. All of this was done in love for the comfort of sinners. You see, we gather here each week to be comforted by Christ and by the forgiveness of sins which he freely gives us. Our sin ought to alarm us. The knowledge of the law convicts us of our sin and brings us into that alarmed state. That then drives us to repentance, so that we are then prepared to hear the gospel, that Christ, who shed his blood for us on the cross and rose from the grave, forgives us. He meets us through the simple word of his truth, the voice of God, and through the Lord's Supper, by which he gives us his body and blood for our forgiveness and for the promise of our eternal salvation. That blessed voice is the voice that we need to hear, and we thank God that he has blessed us with that voice. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.